They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. In the feast of the Epiphany, we are not merely celebrating a feast that is superficial, ancillary to the Christmas mystery, but indeed one that is truly essential if we are to understand all that is truly transpiring, and indeed the very vocation of the Magi who come this day. And so this feast calls each and every one of us, every member of the mystical body, to enter into the cave at Bethlehem and to offer with these three great kings our gifts to the divine infant as we contemplate the great mystery of the Magi's vocation. And indeed, the Magi will bring to the Lord gifts that are very prophetic in nature, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For all of the doctors and fathers, in commenting on these gifts, tell us very clearly that gold is brought because it was precious to all natures and to all cultures and all times and places. And so it was the one gift in creation that was fit for royalty. And so it prophesies of the Christ child that he was born to become a king, not yet quite the king of the chosen people, for that title right now resides on the crown of that just man, also present in the cave at Bethlehem, Saint Joseph by name. But when he will depart from the mystery, he will hand on that royal crown to the Christ child who was foretold from the beginning of time to be the king, the true king that all nations were to look forward to. They bring him incense, the incense known as frankincense, and indeed we learned that frankincense has medicinal and soothing properties. And the ancients would burn it, believing it to carry their prayers to heaven. It prophetically reveals that this Christ child is our great high priest who will intercede for us with God the Father in order to appease his wrath. Myrrh, the third gift brought by the Magi, is perhaps the most mysterious of the gifts they bring, for it is produced from a small, tough, scraggly, and thorny bush. It is a bitter herb with the quality of healing wounds because it is a strong antiseptic and it has strong anti-inflammatory properties. But most notably, it was used by the ancient Egyptians for embalming. Thus, it is presented to the Lord and to the parents of the Lord Jesus and prophesies with Simeon, that Simeon later, that this child is destined to die, that is, for the rise and the fall of many. And so there is a tradition among the doctors and fathers of the church that of the three gifts brought to the Holy Family this day, the myrrh was kept by the Mother of God in order that she would preserve it for that day in which she would anoint the royal body of Jesus Christ as it was being embalmed and entombed after his death on Good Friday. And so many of the doctors and fathers here, in stating that the Blessed Virgin Mary keeps these gifts, allude to the mystery of the co-redemption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For the others were sold in order to buy the sparrows that on the day of purification in order to distribute to the poor. And so the Magi here become harbingers for us, harbingers of the conversion of all the nations to the Lord their God. They are the fathers of the Gentile nations in the faith of the Redeemer that is to come. They are the patriarchs. They are the patriarchs of the human race regenerated. They are not, as some would have it, mere window dressing for our nativity scenes. Indeed, they are central to the mystery of the nativity. And indeed, many of the doctors point out they are three in number, and this becomes very significant, for they are prefigured in many ways in the Old Testament. They are prefigured in the three just men revealed at the dawn of creation. They are at the dawn of creation, that is, Abel, who by his death was a figure of Christ, Seth, who became the father of the children of God, in contrast to Cain, who became the father of all that opposes God and true family life. Enos, who was granted the honor of overseeing and regulating the solemn ceremonies to be observed by men in its worship of the Creator. The Magi continue the mystery of the three fathers of the human race after the deluge that destroyed all those except those preserved in the ark, and from whom all peoples come, that is, Shem, Cham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And they also point out that they also are foretold in the three fathers of the chosen people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these, as St. Paul tells us, saluted the Christ child from afar, but the Magi do not salute from afar, for they are there, present in the cave, as the Christ child is manifested to them. Indeed, the very word epiphania means an illumination, but not the natural illumination that light sheds on the objects of creation, but an illumination of both the mind and the heart, or a divine manifestation. And so, in the epiphany, we truly have the divine manifestation of the Christ child to all the nations. And so, the patriarchs and the prophets of old received from afar the promise in order to keep alive the hope in all mankind, the hope of a fallen race and a redeemer to come. The Magi, who are prefigured in all these patriarchs and prophets of old, realize in today and receive concretely the mercy of God and the forgiveness of their sins. And so they will go forth in order to prepare the nations and all the peoples for that faith, to prepare the nations for the reception of the Christ through the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Indeed, there is a tradition amongst many of the doctors and fathers that point out God had also revealed a religion in the pagan world. It was a religion based on observance of the natural law, and the Magi were both kings and priests of this religion who lived according to the natural law in a heroic way. And so they had that ancient prophecy also revealed to them that they were to look for a star, but no ordinary star or no scientific explanation. For many go about to destroy this mystery, telling us that Venus and Mars or whatever planets came together at a proper time and magnified the light of this star or of that sun. But Scripture is very clear that this star that would appear would burn both in the day and in the night, and indeed it was said to be more magnificent than even the sun. For on a cloudy, rainy day, it would shine through the clouds, and indeed, when the Magi got to Jerusalem, it would change direction. And so we have no natural phenomenon, but in the star itself, we have an epiphany, a manifestation of the divine that is leading this day the kings to the holy cave in Bethlehem in order to receive from the Christ child that which all nations crave for. And so, in receiving this faith, they would go forth to prepare the nations for the reception of this same Christ child through the apostolic teachings of the Church. Today, the throne of divine wisdom welcomes the Magi and their court with the gracious smile of a mother who is also their true queen. She offers her son to them and in them to all mankind. Today, that man may himself become aware of that great mystery. Today, he receives the Christ child in adoration. Tomorrow, she will present him to the Eternal Father on Calvary for the remission of our sins. And so, God manifests himself to men today because he is great, but he manifests himself by Mary because he is full of mercy. And it is this mystery that the Magi truly become aware of today. And so, they depart from the cave, preparing the nations for that one hope that they were to look forward to from the beginning of time and the fall of mankind. That hope is always and everywhere the child of Bethlehem. And so let us turn to the Magi this day, asking them to intercede for a fallen world, to prepare the nations again for the reception of the gift of Mary. For we all must enter the cave in a spirit of adoration. And indeed, Scripture tells us through St. Matthew that they prostrated themselves and did him homage. That is, They adored him as his God before they even asked him for his mercy. And once they adored him as true God and true man, they received from the hands of the mother the mercy of God and would go forth to prepare the nations for that same coming of the Christ child and his mercy. And so they go before us today, for we know from tradition that these three magi are venerated within the Eastern tradition as saints in the Catholic Church, and so they can truly be prayed to intercede. And indeed, we must pray to them constantly, especially in a day, in an age that has gone so far astray that it is impossible to draw mankind back to the true God through human endeavors and human work. And so we must call upon the armies of saints, and especially those who are most intimately linked to the mystery of Christmas, and amongst them, after our Lord, after Our Lady and Saint Joseph, and the shepherds, the shepherds who came in order to indicate personal conversion of each soul, and the Magi who come to indicate that all nations, if they are to become true nations, that is, that which God constituted them for, they must accept Jesus Christ as both king and as priest and as the sacrifice for our sins. And it is only then that true mercy and true love can reign, because it is only then that mankind seeks to imitate that most blessed of all families, and indeed the only true family that has ever graced this world, that is, the Holy Family and the model and exemplar of all families. The Magi saw that family this day and went forward and told the people to prepare something wonderful that would deliver all mankind from the wrath of Satan, that is, slavery to sin, and constitute them children of God. And so today we celebrate a great mystery, the great mystery of God's manifestation to all the nations in the person of the Magi. And so let us not consider them mere window dressings for our nativity scene, but let us consider them as they were in the eyes of God, foretold in the scriptures from of old. That in and of itself tells us that these men had a great mission and a great vocation. And if their origin is unknown to us, for there are many traditions, but there does not seem the ability to pinpoint exactly where they came from, that is precisely probably a providential thing, so that we do not focus on the locality of where they came, but on the universality of the message that they would leave the cave with in order to bring to all nations, that all men are children of God and all men are united by a common origin in Adam and preserved through the patriarchs of old, the three children of Noah, so that mankind truly is one family. It will either be, the Magi would say, the family of God or the family of Satan. And so let us strive like them to see that the world becomes the family of God, destroying all in our lives that keep us from the true Christmas message, divesting ourselves of all sin and all sinful inclinations, so that we too may go forth like with the Magi, not known in and ourselves and for ourselves, but known because we hold in our hearts and in our minds the Christ child, and we seek to give that Christ child to all men in imitation of her who first gave it to the shepherds, and then to the Magi, and then to the apostles, and then to every member of the mystical body, the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, the one sign foretold to all mankind, the true star of God, the true one who illuminates us as to the depth of this mystery, because she and she alone would uniquely ponder all these mysteries in her heart like no other human being is capable of, because she and she alone was the firstborn daughter of the Father, the mother of the Eternal Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And so let us truly accept her as our mother, and let us have her send us forth as she sends forth the Magi to preach the good news to all nations, to announce that the darkness of sin has left because the light of Christ is in the world, the same Christ who is the babe, the Son of Mary.
Christus.